Hey Beeps, it's me, Christine, and I want to share with you a game-changing product that has improved my sleep and daily health. So let's dive in. You all know through my journey, I have struggled with sleep, being afraid of it, not getting quality sleep, and not being able to regulate my temperature throughout the night. I definitely learned the hard way, but sleep matters big time. It's when your muscles repair, your brain detoxes, and your body can work on cellular renewal. We just can't afford to miss out on an adequate amount of high-quality sleep, which is kind of hard when you have a rare disease. There's not much that I control in this real life, but one of the easiest and most effective ways to get better sleep every single night is through temperature regulation. Studies actually prove cooler temperatures lead to a deeper, more restful sleep, and that insomniacs actually lack this natural drop in core body temperature, which is what keeps them up at night. Personally, I run hot. This means that even if my room is super cold, I wake up in a pool of sweat, uncomfortable, changing my clothes several times throughout the night. It's frustrating for obvious reasons, and this is why I was so relieved to discover this transformative product from Chili. The Cube from Chili Sleep is a system that fits right over the top of your mattress and uses water to control the temperature of your bed, which helps lower your internal temperature and triggers deeper, relaxing sleep. Since water has 30 times more thermal conductivity than air, these systems are a lot more effective than just cranking up the AC. I mean, I keep my house at 65, so it has to be true. Ever since I started using the Cube system, I've noticed I fall asleep a lot faster, sleep deeper, and wake up feeling fully rested. Now, my wife is not a polar bear like me and likes to sleep a little bit warmer. So I love that we can each have our own temperatures on either side of the bed. Chili products can range between 55 and 115 degrees. Right now, Chili is offering my audience a really great deal. When you go to chilisleep.com/findyourrare20, you get 20% off the Cube All Sleep Systems with Find Your Rare 20. Sleep is something we could all use more of, and we can all take small steps towards getting better sleep to improve our life in big ways. I hope you'll check out the Chili Sleep System and see why I love their product so much.
Welcome to the Because We're Strong podcast, where we talk all things rare disease and chronic illness and how to navigate a rare life. Together, we're sitting down every week to get your stories and insight on how you navigate this rare life. You can expect everything real and raw in the hopes that your story, along with ours, helps another person who is dealing with a similar rare struggle. So grab your favorite drink, a comfy blanket, and buckle in, because rare disease isn't for the faint of heart. Hey peeps! So we're back with another episode of Because We Are Strong, and today we're sitting down with Effie. Effie is a mother of a rare disease warrior and a woman determined to make a difference. She created her own podcast called Once Upon a Gene in honor of her son Ford, who was born with a rare genetic disease called CTNNB1 syndrome. So many genetic syndromes such as CTNNB1 syndrome vary in their severity. So for example, there's different degrees. It's more of like a spectrum. There are only about 200 known people in the world to have CTNNB1 syndrome, so we could not be more excited to bring the mother of one of them on our podcast to tell you all about it. We all know mamas know best. I'm your host, Teresa.
And I'm Christine, so let's dive in. Effie, thank you so much for being here today with us.
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really excited.
So, Effie, I have to admit, When we do these, we really like to sit down. We like to research on the disease or condition that we're talking about. And I'm not going to lie, I had a really, really hard time understanding what Ford has. I mean, as someone myself who has a child with a rare genetic syndrome, I know most of the time mothers explain it best, even better than doctors do. So for myself and Christine and everyone listening, could you explain to us what CTNNB1 syndrome is and what the effects are from it?
Yes. And I also felt the same way when I was Googling what was going on with Ford, because there just isn't really anything out there, right? It's one of those ultra rare diseases that is too rare to care at this point. You know what I mean? So there isn't a lot of information on it. So CTNNB1 is the name of the gene. It's in charge of creating a protein called beta catenin. It's responsible for a lot of things. It has a lot of jobs. It has to do with cell growth and reproduction and adhesion and all of the things. So when it's not creating enough beta catenin, you know, it's like a waterfall effect. Everything from cognitive to speech to motor to eye issues, tone issues, sometimes seizure issues. It can, like you said, with it being a spectrum, some kids are affected more so on this end and some on the other, just depending on how and where exactly the mutation happened. And so it's different. It's different for every kid. How it shows up for Ford, he was born really, really small. I later found out he had inner utero growth restriction. So he had super, super low tone in his trunk. Ford still cannot sit up to this day, and he's 4.5 years old. He couldn't swallow. He still really can't. He can drink some water. He gets really scared to swallow food. It usually gets stuck in there. By the time he does the swallowing act, the food is in the wrong spot. And so he freaks out and he chokes or he pukes. It's kind of a daily thing. He's nonverbal. He's not sitting. He's not crawling. He's not walking. So those are kind of the main things. He has severe dystonia in his limbs, which is sort of the opposite of low tone, if you will. It's very spastic. It's very stiff. It's painful because the muscles are constantly like firing, I guess is a good way to sort of make it understandable. So he has a lot going on with his body. Ford is so smart. He's so funny. He's so fun. You know, he works so hard. He works his butt off to do everything that he does on the daily. And his mental strength is one of his most amazing qualities. You know, watching what goes into Ford getting to do his day is stuff that, you know, most people never even think about. So I'm just so proud of him, and I love watching the gains that he makes. Well, yes, there's always setbacks, and we go back a few months in milestones or whatever. It's still so cool when you see that one little thing happen.
I personally love watching, like, I catch some of your lives, and it does. It puts everything in perspective. It's like fight like Ford, you know? I appreciate you sharing that vulnerable part, because it is, I think he inspires a lot more people than you probably even know.
Thank you. Yeah, I love sharing about Ford. You know, I think like every parent, you wonder if you're doing the right thing by maybe opening up and maybe not being so private and sharing a lot of stuff about your kid. And, you know, that's a whole other episode about what kind of information you're giving away. But I personally gravitated towards parents and stories like what I'm living now, because it gave me a lot of hope and it made me realize that I wasn't alone, which is what I needed.
Absolutely. That feeling of isolation is so incredibly damaging. I just want to quickly ask you, kind of rewind, was there anything during your pregnancy that gave you any indications that Ford was going to be born with any rare disease, or did you have a normal pregnancy? I'm always so curious to know.
Yeah, so I thought I had a normal pregnancy. I felt great. I had thick hair for the first time in my life. I got to eat tater tots and cheeseburgers twice a day. Like, it was the best time of my life. People would let me sit down on the bus. My insurance automatically put me with midwives to keep costs down, and I didn't think anything of it. In hindsight, I would absolutely encourage anyone who's only seeing midwives to stop what you're doing right now and just get at least one appointment with an OB, because they have a lot more to add to the pregnancy journey. And I think if anything, just get a little checks and balances, side stuff there. But
oh, that was really good. I think that's like why we do this, right? For these like little nuggets of information.
Yeah.
So helpful.
They're doctors and midwives aren't. So I saw 6 different ones. They rotate you between one. You never see the same person. And every appointment They'd ask how I was feeling. I'd say, great. And they'd be like, oh, that's wonderful. You know, your belly's a little small, but you're small. And we fully expect small people to have small babies. So like, that's literally all it did. It went in and out because that was their demeanor. That's what they said to me. And it happened every time. Oh, you're small. Easy. Baby's small. No big deal. It's your first pregnancy.
It was kind of easy to normalize that though, right? Because like, oh yeah, I am small. Like,
Yeah, sure, right? Like, okay, I only started at 100 pounds, so like what really could happen to me, I guess.
Right. And I was the complete opposite as you.
Yeah, exactly.
Huge. I was huge.
Yeah, so, you know, on my very last appointment, it was like a week before my 40 weeks, it was the first time I had seen this midwife, and she said, I need you to come back in at 7 o'clock tonight because we're inducing you. And I was like, what? Why? Why wouldn't I go to 40 weeks? What are you? Oh, wait. Like, why wouldn't I wait until the baby just came? And she was like, because your baby could die.
Oh.
And that's all she said to me. And that's all she said to me. What I found out later after getting my medical records is that they had known that Ford wasn't growing properly the whole time. And someone just didn't tell me at one point. And so the next person really didn't want to have to tell me either. Oh, so they just kind of thought that maybe it'll all be okay. Effie's like, feeling great.
Let you slip through the cracks.
Effie's feeling great. I don't want to be the one to clean up someone else's mess. Oh. And so I was induced because you're not supposed to deliver a IUGR baby at full term. It's dangerous and they die. Thankfully, that didn't happen. And I had a wonderful midwife who delivered my baby. And Ford was 4 pounds and 9 ounces. He was really small. And that was kind of the beginning of Ford won't eat. But no, I didn't know that anything was wrong until I got my medical records a few months later when I really knew something was wrong.
Wow. So it sounds like you almost had to do like your own digging for this information. Like,
Yeah. I had to do my own digging because people weren't being honest. And with what I found out, like when Ford got admitted into the hospital at 3 months old, that's when I knew that they knew something I didn't know and they weren't telling me.
I mean,
it was a lot.
We talk about this a lot, but like trusting the medical system and like that distrust that comes from like these encounters where it's like, now you need to fully trust this medical team to take care of like your most precious being. And there's like a distrust there, you know?
Yeah. I was really angry and I was really confused. And I also felt like an idiot. I was like, did I not notice something? Did I do something wrong? Was I not asking the right questions? Why wasn't anyone helping me? What was I doing to make them not care? And, you know, it kind of flipped it and made me think like that I did something wrong by not getting to the bottom of it sooner.
And I think that feeling of like, I think there's mom guilt there. And then there's like this rare disease guilt. Like, what did I do? Because I know I felt for a very long time, like I must have done something to myself to make this happen. And I know Teresa talks about that a lot as well. So he goes,
that happens. I mean, Christine, that happens a lot, even when people are like, well, why don't you just change your diet? Like people say that to you all the time.
Oh
like,
my gosh. Yes.
Just change your diet. And it's almost like a sense of like, well, it's what you're eating and what you're putting into your body and you could fix it. And it's like, no, it's really not.
Yeah. And I just didn't think that I could question a doctor and I didn't think that it was my place to challenge them. And I don't like conflict either, like you, Christine. And I didn't want to be someone who was like being that tiger mom. Like that's just not my style. And you know, I wish I was like that at that time because it would have changed a lot of things.
So he goes in at 3 months. And this is like really where the CT and B1 syndrome journey starts, right? That 3 month mark.
Yeah. So Casey, my husband and I had been taking Ford into the pediatrician once a week. And we were taking him into the lactation specialists twice a week for exactly 3 months. I was taking him in because Ford was crying all night. He looked like he was in pain. He was like writhing. His body was really stiff. He was in pain. He wasn't having any bowel movements. Our pediatrician just kept telling me that we were worried parents. He's colicky. Give him some Karo syrup. Like, chill out. this is your first baby. And I kept making those appointments and I kept doing it. And I kept going to the lactation things because I was like, trust me, I know how to breastfeed. Like, I can do this. He's not doing it. It's not the way I'm holding him. It's not my stress level. Like, something's wrong. And at our very last appointment with that pediatrician, she was looking at his growth chart, I assume. And she said, Effie, I think you need to take Ford to the hospital. I'm worried about him. And I've made you an appointment. And that was the first time she ever validated anything that I had said. And it was another thing where I was like, found out later, oh, she knew he wasn't even on the growth chart. And she hadn't told me either because she was carrying over this, you know, mystery that was going on with my birth and nobody wanted to deal with it. They were just really hoping that this kid was going to be fine and nobody was going to get in trouble for it and everyone would be great. So that was a huge shock. I don't even remember what happened after that moment. You know, we then took Ford into the Children's Hospital, which started the crusade, right, of getting genetic testing and finding out what was really going on with Ford. So that was just a big shocking moment. And
I cannot tell you, like, your story and just how, like, his diagnosis and everything just resonates so much with me because, and it honestly, it makes me so angry because it happens all the time.
Yeah, it does.
All the time. And I don't understand. I mean, no one knows their baby like a mother knows their baby.
Yeah.
So, like, why did you have to be the squeaky wheel? I can't even tell you how many times Beckwith babies aren't diagnosed for a year, 2 years. And because doctors want to be right, they're not listening to the mothers. And I just, gosh, it makes me so angry that you experienced that.
I think that was probably some of the biggest anger that I had ever felt in my life, was how betrayed. And I was just so pissed at everyone involved in my pregnancy and Ford's pediatric care up until that point. And I still am. You know, when people ask me about certain things, like, I get hot. I still have a lot of anger with my encounters in the first part of Ford's life.
Well, mama bear anger, like I tell people, it's a whole different level.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, that was like one of the first times where I was like, oh, I actually don't have to do everything you're saying. You're not better than me. I am not a crazy tiger mom who doesn't know what I'm talking about. You're fired and I'm going to go find a new doctor.
I love that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So for Ford, you know, you said, you told us a little bit in the beginning that he's not walking on his own and stuff like that. What kind of care, does he need and how old is he now?
He turned 4 in June. You know, lately, obviously he's the best he's ever been. He hasn't been sick. June 30th. Are you a June baby? 12th,
just saying, June 12th.
Baby. You're a Gemini. Okay. So, yeah, you are. up until COVID, Ford had a respiratory virus, pneumonia, RSV, something like literally every day. He had a fever every other day. All we did was deal with Ford's fever and respiratory viruses for years. So I'm happy to say that we haven't had one of those in a while, which is a lot. It's a relief. Which, you know, there was a nebulizer every day. There was an inhaler every day. There was, so, you know, I wake up in the morning, Ford takes several medications for his tone and things like that. I get his medicine in him. I kind of wait a while and gauge when I can feed him. He's G-tube fed. So, I feed him through his G-tube. He vomits a lot still, not as much as he used to. He used to vomit every single feed. Ford didn't gain weight for a couple of years, but we've started to put some avocado oil in his belly, and that was brilliant. And he's gained a couple pounds. So, you know, I have to do everything for Ford. I have to carry him and pick him up and dress him and change him and place him everywhere because, you know, he gets around by rolling, and he's really fast now at rolling. But it's a lot of that. It's managing, you know, his med schedule, his food schedule, his just general, what is Ford doing now? What's our activity? What do I have to get done physically with Ford today? And I also have a little girl, so that's definitely added some extra into the mix.
Baby Effie?
But for the most part right now, this is probably... there is.
Wait, what's Baby Effie's name?
Her name's Esme. We call her little Ezzy. She's amazing.
That's adorable.
Oh, they're so cute. So right now, I think other than just Ford getting bigger and all of that stuff, this is the most smooth sailing time we've had since Ford was born. So I'm happy to be in this moment right now.
It's kind of crazy because COVID and 2020 have, like, most people would not have said that. You know, I hope it continues to be like this because 2020 is some crap.
Yeah, amen to that. Yeah, but Ford's doing really awesome right now. We just took him to a 3-week intensive physical therapy program down in LA, and it was just one of the most incredible times of both of our lives, watching Ford work his tail off and watching these amazing therapists do what they do all day for kids like mine. And watching just how inspired everyone is by every other person in the room, it just makes everyone better. And it makes you feel so seen. And it was amazing. I recommend it to any family who has a kid like mine. That therapy is unmatched.
Where you took him for that 3-week thing?
Yeah.
Yes, it's called Napa Center. They have locations in L.A., Austin, Boston, and Australia.
So everyone can know. It's always good to have, in my opinion, like recommendations, because you just, like you said, doctors don't know everything. And
yeah. When we were told about Ford's diagnosis, they told me Ford was never going to walk and he was never going to talk, and nothing that is happening now was ever going to happen for Ford.
Beat all the odds.
And they're wrong.
I love that. You know, yeah, seriously. I don't know. I'm sure your experience is similar, but you know, my family is really blessed to live near one of the top hospitals for what my son has. I couldn't believe it. And once I started to reach out to people and talk to them and stuff like that, I realized, wow, like if I wasn't where I'm at, the information that I would be receiving from doctors is incredibly different than the information that I actually got.
Yes.
And I was really scared by that because the people that were coming to me and the things that they were telling me, these doctors were telling them, I was like, they're not right. They're not right at all. So when you said that, I totally resonated with that because, you know, I've had moms that have found out that their child has Beckwith when they're pregnant. And, you know, the doctors say things that aren't even remotely correct, that they're not going to live a healthy life, that they're going to be disabled their whole entire life, like things that just aren't even close to the type of lives that these kids live. So,
and it's just unnecessary information, right?
Yes,
like,
totally.
You know what? Let me Google it and be the judge on if that life has value.
Yes.
Give me some hope. Tell me what you've seen over your career and how science is, you know, moving forward. Like, give me something hopeful, because this is a lot.
Well, and just like, damn, can't you have some faith in me as a mother? Like, can't you say to me, like, okay, they're going to have a life that's a little bit different than, you know, the average child, but you can do it.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't these empowering conversations that, you know, women are having with their doctors? And I just hope that, like, I hope we can change that. And I think just your story about Ford at therapy, I feel that when Owen is in his therapies. So I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like that tangible moment that you're like, he's making a difference, and look what he's doing.
Totally. And I think that things like this, right? Podcasts and conferences with rare disease things, I think patients and families of patients are also being so included in the conversation with the doctors. And I do feel like there's a shift happening where so many of the doctors and clinicians and researchers are coming to the table to meet us because we are the best source of information. You know, aside from like what they can do with tests, like we are the subjects. And I think that's finally bridging the gap, right? And it's definitely connecting us to move this forward as a team rather than just have the end all be all leader over here telling the little parents what to do.
Yes, 1,000%. We love that you choose, you know, to take Ford's diagnosis, and we love that you dove right into advocacy. You know, that's pretty much what I did. It was a very good coping mechanism for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all know that raising awareness and research in rare disease is super important. So with that being said, what impact has advocacy made on not only you and your family, but people that you have connected with?
Man, you know, I started my podcast because I felt so alone as a parent. I didn't know any other kids like Ford. I didn't have any family who knew nothing. I had nothing to relate to. My kids, my friends' kids were all born at the same time as Ford, and everyone was, you know, light years ahead in every way of their parenting journey and the kids in their own journey, that I just felt like they closed the door and I was supposed to just live this life over here with Ford because I didn't belong. And that sucked. And I don't like that. And so I started searching, right? I started searching for blogs and books and started typing in keywords in like hashtag search bars or like podcast search bars, because I just knew I couldn't be that person. And I knew that that kind of feeling radiates off of you, right? And it goes into your kids and it goes into your spouse and it goes into your family. Oh, and God, yes, it does. And so I saw a magnet the other day that actually made me laugh. There were two of them. It said, if you can't afford therapy, start a blog. And if you can't afford therapy, start a podcast, which is sort of funny because I feel like a lot of us do kind of get to that point where we do need to get it out in some way. And we don't necessarily have that person to talk to yet.
You know, you're thinking you're going in there about this thing. And, you know, next thing you know, you're talking about your childhood. Trust me, I'm a therapist. So I believe that, like, sometimes you just, I don't want to deal with my childhood right now. I want to deal with this. Sometimes you have to find your way to do that.
Yes, that's actually a very good point. Yes, and that is kind of what frustrated me about therapy, was like, I need to just talk about this right now.
I don't want to go into
talk about how I was screwed.
And then, like I said, there's a place for it, but I think that, you know, there is this type of therapy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so... And I think that blogs and podcasts and stuff do really kind of put a seat there for you. And for me, you know, I found a couple, and I just remember I used to go on walks with Ford
because
it's dark in Seattle. You watch Grey's Anatomy. It's dark here. Okay. even if it's not raining, it's dark, especially in the winter. And going outside and like moving my body and just getting fresh air is like something I have to do to manage my mental health to live in Seattle. And I would put Ford in his stroller. I'd hook him up to his feeding tube. I'd put my headphones on and I would walk for hours. Like sometimes I'd be gone for 5 hours and I would just be walking and crying and, you know, just feeling all of the gunk that was what I was going through. And there were like two or three podcasts that were finally, they were like beamed to me, and what they were talking about and what they were feeling was just like, I finally like saw a light, and I was like, it became a lifeline for me. And then they were over.
It is the worst.
Especially since I was binging them and walking for 5 hours.
When the binge is,
and
you think there's so much, and then it's
not
over. And it's like the
Yes. I just like could not take that. I know, it's so harsh. And that is just kind of, and even when I was listening to it, I was like, I need to do this. If not for myself, for the other mom or dad that's crying and walking and sitting in their car, just like devastated. Like, I need to find these people because they just made me feel a little better. And I want to help pass that torch, right? Like, I have to be here. Like, this is the only thing that's moved me in the last however long since Ford was born. And I know this is my path. Just kind of like you, Christine, I knew this was what I was supposed to do. It just hit me and I just figured out how to do it. And I'm curious, and I had a desire to help other families who are navigating this, and not only help them, but to also learn myself, because I have no idea what I'm doing.
So we talked a little bit about
keeping the tradition,
like that you started and why you started it. But can you tell us really what people can expect from Once Upon a Gene? First of all, the best name in podcast history. Very jealous. It's so amazing. So amazing.
Oh yes, my gosh.
So good.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You can expect a cafeteria. You can take some and you can leave some. Okay. There's stories from rare moms. Awesome. There's stories from rare dads. There's doctors. There's, you know, advocates who raise tons of money and start foundations. There's a story from my husband. There's stories about, like, I don't even know. I've done so many amazing episodes. There's people who are living with chronic disease who don't have kids, right? Like you, Christine, there's that storyline. There's parents who developed a rare disease at age 40 and they have kids who are typically developing, and it just like crashed into their lives. There's stories from filmmakers, my friends Bo and Daniel, who started the Rare Disease Film Festival. They're some of the most amazing people and are going to win a Nobel Prize someday, I'm convinced. Oh, yeah, the Rare Disease Film Festival. Bo Bigelow and Daniel DeFabio. You have to talk to them. They're the two most amazing people in rare disease. They're both raising, Bo's raising a daughter, and Daniel was raising a son named Lucas, who actually passed away a couple months ago. But they met at a Global Genes event, and Daniel had already had some experience in the film industry. And he was like, they made friends right there at that thing. And now they're best friends like you guys. And he was like, yeah. And he was like, we should have a rare disease film festival and have films about rare disease. So check that out. That's a whole other episode, which hope you guys will do. Go talk to them.
After you guys are done binging Once Upon a Gene.
Okay. Well, to just add on that real quick, with COVID, they moved their in-person Rare Disease Film Festival to a TV channel. So if you have a Roku or an Amazon Fire Stick, download their channel. It's called the Disorder Channel.
We have our video.
And make a film. Make a film about your disease or your kid. Put it on there. Go check it out. But yeah, so yeah, you do. So there's a lot of things. You know, I have stories from anything. And I just say, like, if you want to be here, come and talk to me. So if you're looking for another mom to connect with, if you're a dad looking for another dad to connect with, if you want to learn about how to fundraise a bunch of money, if you want to learn about how to advocate for your own community, like, I'm really just throwing it all in there because it's stuff I need to learn about. I have an attorney on there talking about guardianship and ABLE accounts and what we need to do for our kids if we, you know, evaporate. Like, yeah. All the things that I need to do for Ford, I'm trying to find those people to talk to them.
And I think that's so important. And for everybody listening, you know, I encourage you all to, you know, connect with Effie and share your story on her podcast, because you have no idea who could possibly be listening.
Or be the key to your own, to be the key to your podcast.
And
like me, I was featured on a podcast, and that's how I got my other Daniel's diagnosis.
I've heard,
like, she, after the podcast, just literally said to me, look, I'm not a doctor, but next time you go in, you should really ask about Ehlers-Danlos. It sounds like Ehlers-Danlos. Like, that was a podcast. Like, they couldn't figure me out. And yet someone who's never met me and just told my story, like, they were the key for one of my biggest
diagnoses. I love
it. So it's crazy.
Yeah. See, that's what it's about too with the rare disease community, right? Like, everyone sharing these little small bits, you can find identity in them, and you can find maybe an off point to, like, get some answers, because we're all navigating this, and some of us can do it this way and some of us can do it this way. And sometimes we need to take pieces from other people to push ourselves forward.
Yes, exactly. Like I always say, my road isn't going to be the same road as Effie's road. It's not going to be the same as Christine's, but we all, you know, the rare disease road, there are definite similar roads that we all travel on. We take different exits, but there's definitely similarities. That's why.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Not one story is going to be the same, but there's been so many people that I've talked to with different stories than mine, but I can pick out bits of it and be like, oh my gosh, I felt that. Oh my
Same.
Gosh, I know what that was like. So I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. And you make these friendships that you can't explain, right? Like the two of you and the people I've met through my podcast, like I love you. You know what I mean? Like you know so much about exactly what my day to day is like that you get it. And when someone gets it, it doesn't matter if you have a disease or if your kid has a disease or if it's worse and you're going to die and I'm not. Like there's something there and you just get it.
For sure. I mean, just knowing that was one thing that was very hard for me was just, you know, knowing that I had a whole bunch of people around me that loved me and that cared about me and that cared and loved for Owen, but they, no matter how hard they tried, they weren't going to get it.
Same.
So just knowing that there's people around is huge.
Yes.
What's next for your family and for your podcast? Is there anything on the horizon for you guys?
You know, I always have just said, I'm going to let the energy of this podcast take it where it needs to go.
Seriously.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, obviously I wish I had more time to do more for my podcast. I wish I could spend more time on refining a lot of things, and that'll come. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but I am so excited to actually meet all of you in person, whether we go to a Global Genes event or whatever it is. I can't wait to see the faces of all of the people in this rare disease community who have just meant so much to me. And who have inspired me as a mom, as an advocate, as a podcaster. I am just so excited about how much collaboration there is too in our world that I say yes to everything. So if anyone invites me to something, thank you. I am coming. If I can, obviously, if I have a babysitter, I'm coming. If, you know, I've been invited to speak on quite a few panels now. And that was a really unexpected and really exhilarating experience. And I would love to do more of that stuff. So that's kind of a fun thing. We're making a film right now about CT and MB1 and Ford's day-to-day to put on the Disorder Channel. So we're kind of doing that. What else are we doing? You know, I have like all of those other dreams that parents have, right? Like I need to write a book. I need to tell my story in another medium. You know, it's like every day there's something else where I'm like, just put that on the shelf and maybe a ghost will make it fly off and hit me in the head at some point. I don't know. But I'm kind of just going with the flow right now because that's what we can do. Because, you know, everything stops you, whether your kid's vomiting that day or they have a fever or all of your therapy. You know, you just take it day by day. So
sure.
While I have these ideas, I am not necessarily that person who stops everything they're doing to make something happen.
Well,
exactly.
You're like,
I guess.
Happiness.
But we'll see.
Some of my anxiety to like comment a little bit. Cause I'm like, idea, call Teresa. No, Teresa, like this is it, has to happen. So I'm going to take some, that's what I'm getting out of this episode. But where can people find you to connect with you?
Yes. So you can find me anywhere on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. My website is effieparks.com. The podcast is Once Upon a Gene. You can subscribe to that anywhere you get your podcasts, or you can just go to my website and listen to it as well if you don't want to download something like that. Yes, thank you. Yeah, contact me anytime. Any questions, if you want me to connect you to another person that I've spoke to, anything. I'm open. I just might not get back to you for a couple days because I'm like, oh, I'd rather watch this Netflix show than respond to an email. I'm tired, but I will get back to you. And maybe just remind me too, because then sometimes it can get buried. But I am here to help you in any way that you need. I'm really good at directing people. I know a lot of different types of people. So if you need a resource, just let me know.
Her LinkedIn DMs.
Yeah.
I've always wanted someone to do that. Just didn't think it was going to be you, Christine.
Effie, thank you so much for coming on and sharing Ford's story with us. You know, it's incredible to be able to hear the stories of so many other fighters of rare disease. It brings me so much comfort. And just knowing that even though our situation is different, you know, we both have boys that are fighting, you know, a rare fight. And together with Ford's story and the stories of countless other rare disease fighters, you know, I'm really hopeful that we're going to be able to continue to bridge the gap. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. You two are so awesome. I'm so happy to be connected.
Yeah, anytime. To all our listeners who join us every week, of course, thank you all for your support.
Until next time, live large and stay rare.
Thanks for listening to the Because We're Strong podcast. To continue the conversation about rare disease and all the unknowns that come with it, don't forget to subscribe and catch us next week for another episode. To learn more about our stories or how to share yours, visit www.findyourrare.com. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to connecting and bridging the gap between the struggles of the rare disease community and the rest of the world.